Morning, everyone. It's good to see you here. Keep that Bible passage open as we continue through the book of James. Most of us, as you come here this morning, would have brought some form of identification with you, whether it's a driver's license or a pensioner card or a student identification card or a passport or something. We generally don't go anywhere without some form of identification so we can identify ourselves. Now, a while ago, Jim told us a story about when he drove down Waterworth Drive, he realised he was driving over 50 kilometres an hour. And if this was the case and Jim was pulled over by the police, as nice as Jim was and as nice as the policeman might be, he would say to Jim, "Have you got your licence on you? Can I see some identification?" Now, I need to premise this and say that on the way here this morning, as I drove down Waterworth Drive, Gail said to me, "Gary, it's 50. It's very hard to drive 50 kilometres down Waterworth Drive." And so she said to me, "Make sure you include yourself in this example." So I don't want to highlight Jim, but I want to highlight Jim because he brought it up first. So now, the officer might say, I think it's probably lucky that on our licence it doesn't say what we do for a job. Because the minister, the policeman might say to Jim, "You're a minister. Don't you know you shouldn't be doing over 50 on Waterworth Drive?" And if we know Jim well, I think Jim might say, "Officer, I do realise that I am a broken man. I do realise that the law shows my guilt. I do realise that I can't uphold the law. And I thank you for reminding me of it." You know, it reminds me of what the Bible says. The Bible tells me also that I can't keep the law and I can't look to the law for salvation. That's why I'm glad I follow Jesus. You should too. I think Jim might say that. I would not be surprised if Jim said that. But there would be a problem if Jim pulled out his license and the date had expired. Then Jim would have a problem. As nice as Jim Wood is, and as nice as the policeman might be, there is a problem because the license isn't valid anymore. It can't be taken as true identification. It's no longer a real license. Friends, as we continue to look at this letter written by James, the brother of Jesus, this morning, he's going to throw some strong challenges out there to the relevancy of our faith, the validity of our faith. And I think he's sort of going to say to us, if we were able to pull our faith out of our wallet or our purse like we would our license, would it be proved valid? Would it be a saving faith? Let's pray and we'll look at chapter 2. Lord God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you so much for its encouragement. We thank you for its challenges. We thank you that it contains all truth. And Father, as we sit under your word this morning, we pray that you will teach us. We pray that our hearts will be soft, our minds will be sharp. And Father, we can put into practice what you want us to do. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've got your bulletin there and you want to follow along, there's 4 points I've got there. They're all about faith and works, because that's what we're talking about this morning, because that's what James is talking about. Faith and works. And the first thing I want to say is that there's an issue. There's a very big issue when we look at this passage. And the issue is James contradicting the message of the Bible? That is particularly what Paul says when Paul says we are saved by grace, by faith alone. James seemingly says a bit the opposite. And so we're going to look at that issue because it's a very big issue, because we've been looking at the Reformation last month and before, and a couple of the major points were saved by grace and saved by faith alone. And so when James writes, is he contradicting Paul and therefore by default also go against what Martin Luther said? And because we've been looking at that over the last couple of months. Well, we know very clearly that God saves through grace, by faith alone, in Christ alone. That's an overriding story of the Bible. We have learned from the Bible that our works are useless when it comes to salvation. Nothing we can do pleases God when it comes to salvation. We can't get our salvation by what we do. And if you had carefully read those verses that we just read in James, the thoughtful person would have said, hang on a minute, I think we've got a problem. This doesn't seem to be what James is saying. And I want to highlight this right off by looking at verses 14 and then verse 24. James chapter 2, firstly verse 14. James says, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Come down to verse 24. He says, you see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. See, we've been big on by faith alone. That's what the Bible says. Saved by faith alone. What is James telling us here? Has he somehow elevated deeds equal to faith when it comes to salvation? Well, I think it'd be helpful if you actually go and see what Paul actually says. So if you want to go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verses that many of you will be familiar with. Ephesians chapter 2, let me read verses 8 and 9. If anyone's got a page number, that would be helpful. 1819. Paul says in chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, he says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, that no one can boast. Okay, so we seem to have a contradiction there. We seem to have a contradiction with what Paul's saying and what James is saying. But I think Paul clears it up in the very next verse. Verse 10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works. That's what we've actually been created to do. See, Paul is very clear that works do not save us, but he goes on to say that we have been created for good works. Our works and our deeds are part and parcel of being a Christian, of being saved. You cannot have one without the other. They go together. Now, what we need to remember is this. Paul and James are writing two completely different circumstances. Paul is describing what it is to be saved, how it is to be saved. James is writing about how it is to be transformed after you have been saved. See, what James is saying is, if you have faith, therefore you must do works, because the faith makes you do the works. That's what happens when you have the saving faith that only Jesus can give. Paul is saying, you cannot be saved by works, you can only be saved by faith alone. So they're talking about two completely different things. And if we hold that together, I think we'll understand what James is trying to say. Okay, second thing. James gives us an example from common day life, something that we might be able to understand. Verse 15, he says, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and without food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does not do anything about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by, if not accompanied by action, it is dead. See, which one is easier for us to do? To wish someone well or to actually do something? It's to wish them well. And if we're feeling particularly spiritual, what might we do? We might say, I'll pray for you. James says, friends, that type of faith is dead. If that's how you care for people, you do not have saving faith. Now note here, James is focusing on fellow believers. If one of us is in need, how easy is it for us to say, I wish you well, or I'll pray for you? Not that there's anything wrong with praying, we should. But James is saying, unless you feel a desire to want to help physically with that person, you do not have a saving faith. See, we have failed to understand what's happened to our life. We have failed to understand what Jesus has done on the cross for us. We have failed to understand what a transformed life looks like. And so it causes us surely to ask the question, have I really met Jesus? Has my life truly been transformed? Has my life been turned around? Am I just here because I know all the words? I know how to say the Lord's Prayer when everyone says the Lord's Prayer. I know what the Apostles' Creed is. I know all the songs. I know when to stand and when to sit. I know all the right words, all the right things. James is arguing that if we really have a saving faith, then deeds will automatically follow what we believe. Our faith would be seen to be real, and therefore it's the proof of what has already happened in our life through Jesus. See, we often fail to see that the prayer we might say we pray for someone could very well be answered by ourselves. We could be the answer to that prayer. You know, I'm so thankful we have a meals ministry here. It's one way that we can look after those who are in need. Sometimes we may not be able to help others, but we can put them in touch with someone who can. See, we're called to look after each other because we are the body of believers. We are in Christ's family together. Now, we might sometimes get occasionally requests from outsider, and we should try to help them all we can. But James particularly is talking about those in the body of Christ, the believers that we should be caring for. Now, if we go back to Ephesians chapter 2 again, at the start of that chapter, Paul says that before you were saved, you were dead. But once you've been saved, you've been made alive. Life is different now you follow Jesus. It can't be the same. And therefore, your deeds must prove the faith that you have. James says, faith without deeds is useless. It's a bit, honestly, like meat pie without sauce. You cannot have a meat pie without sauce. In fact, our son was over at my place last night. He said, "Dad, we're having party pies for sauce, but I got to party pies for dinner, but I got to go to the shop and get some sauce because we run out." You can't serve up pie without sauce. You cannot have faith without deeds. Now listen, if you're going through the motions, and surely we all do, if you have become a belief-only person, listen to what James says, because he says if you're a belief-only person, you're no better than demons. Verse 18, he says, "But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do.' Then he says, 'You believe that there is one God? Good on you. Even the demons believe that and shudder.'" See, the demons believe in God. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We see that in the gospel stories. Yet, their belief is real, but it is dead. See, what James is giving us is extreme language to shake us up, to shake us out of our apathy. So first of all, James appeals to an everyday example of how we might care for others. Secondly, he kicks us in the teeth by using extreme language of comparing people who only have faith with that of demons. And thirdly, he's going to appeal to the Scriptures, to the evidence of the Scriptures. That's my third point this morning. See, evidence is something that can be used in court. Now, I'm not sure if you like watching lawyer shows and criminal shows on TV. I tend to like them. And when you sit there and you see a case, often what has happened is that a lawyer will appeal to a precedent. He'll say, "Aha, Smith versus Peters, 1974, Your Honour. hoping that the honour will go, okay, yes, I understand that case. That means, yes, it's going to go favourably in your way. The evidence of a precedent is very important in law. And that's what James does as he tells us the story of Abraham and Rahab the prostitute. Remember, he's talking to Jewish people. They would understand who these people are. So let's go to these verses. Verses 20 through to 25. James says, "You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction?" Firstly, Abraham, the leader, the father of the Jewish nation. He was promised to be the father of that nation, though he was childless, though his wife couldn't give birth, and they were old. Most of you will know the story. And when his wife finally did give birth to Isaac, when Isaac grew up, God told Abraham to go and sacrifice him, to go and put him on an altar and kill him. What would possess a man to want to do that to his own son? I'm a father. I read this and I shake my head. What would possess a man to do this unless he had a faith in God that either God could raise Isaac from the dead or that God actually had something better in plan? It was Abraham's faith that caused him to do what God asked him to. And of course, we know the story that God actually provided a ram in the end in the place of his one and only son. And James tells us that Abraham's faith was made complete by what he did, and it was credited to him as righteousness. See, Abraham was prepared to lose the thing he loved the most. The son that he and Sarah had longed for many years, yet by faith, Abraham was prepared to go with God. His faith was such that he understood that God would look after things. I don't know about you, but I can't read that story and help feel a bit uncomfortable about my faith. Do I have a faith like that? Second story, Rahab the prostitute. She was willing to jeopardize her safety so the Israelite spies could hide out in her house as they were checking out the land of Canaan, knowing full well that if the locals found out she was hiding the spies, her and her family would be killed. Now, while the story itself is quite strange, the point is that it was her faith in the true and living God. Even though she was not an Israelite, which is quite unusual at that time, caused her to act the way she did. She didn't say, "I will pray for you so you'll find somewhere to hide," or "I wish you well in your endeavors." She put her faith into action. See, in both stories, what they did proved that their faith was genuine. Lastly, the challenge from these verses is not to go out and do something. It's not to get yourself on the mill roster and get busy and add all sorts of things to your life. That is not what James is telling us to do. We're not to become busier so that everyone will see what great faith we have. Rather, James gives us a wake-up call. Firstly, to the people who think they have faith, but they actually don't. Their faith is dead because they have it all in their head but nowhere else. See, too many have gone through life, all their life, with things about God in their head, but it hasn't gone anywhere else. Jim shared a couple of weeks ago about people who have written Bible commentaries he has in his home who do not know God. They know lots about God, but they don't know God. They have it all in their head. There's been no conversion. There's a chance that there might be someone like that here this morning who know it all in their head, but it hasn't gone anywhere else. You might know a lot practically, but when it comes to serving, when it comes to knowing Jesus, you just don't. See, what James is wanting us to think about is this. Has what Jesus done for me in taking my place on the cross gone from my head to my heart to my hands? See, if it hasn't, James says your faith is dead. See, every time I do a Bible talk, I'm trying to get people to use their heads. I want you to think about what God is saying through His Word. But then I want it to go from your head to your heart. So I want you to feel the emotion, the reality of what's going on in your life and what God's saying to you. And then from your heart to your hands. What am I going to do now? What am I going to do knowing what I know about God and what He's done for me? Let me repeat, James is not telling us to go and do something, but rather, it's an appeal to check our hearts and think about what we do and why we do it. Our faith should be driving our works. So, let's answer what James asks us to. His question at the start of the passage. What good is it, my brothers, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save him? The answer is no. Friends, I look around here and I see saving faith. I see men and women who give up their time and serve and put in hard work and lots of hours to serve us as a church and serve the community. I see saving faith. I see it at Working Bees. I see it when people lead groups. I see it as people serve us on Sunday. I see it when someone puts up their hand to say, yes, I'll fill in for that group. I see it when someone serves us morning tea or makes us coffee. I see it when people serve on committees. I see it when people give generously. I hear about it when people go visiting or drive others around. Praise God that Jesus has transformed your life and your faith is proved genuine. But there may be still some here today who have not got that saving faith. Friends, put your trust in Jesus. Trust Jesus for your salvation. Let Jesus transform your life. Only Jesus can forgive. Only Jesus can give eternal life. And for those of you here this morning who have a genuine faith, but are for whatever reason are unable to do things, that is all right. God does not expect you to do something that may be physically impossible for you. Sometimes you may just be the brother or the sister in need, and that is okay. Don't feel like you need to do something now to prove your faith is genuine. If you have the desire to do, but you can't, trust in the one who saves you. That it is not by works, but by faith. But however, that is the minority. And so if you're able to serve and you're able to do things and you don't, can such a faith save you? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We do thank you that He has saved us by His grace, through faith, and that works cannot save us. But Father, we do pray that as those who are saved, that we might live transformed lives, that the things that we do might show who we have faith in, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.